I've just tried to pick the absolute main points, and hopefully you've got enough now that if you want to read the book, you hopefully would be prepared to read Editor's Study Guide. All I've tried to do is get you ready to read the study guide. If you can read the study guide, then you can read the book. So don't try to read the book right off the bat. It's too darn hard. But I think you should be in a position at least to know what the major arguments are. And then when you read Energy, you think, oh yeah, that's what we were talking about. And he'll just go into it in a little more depth for each point. But you can always come back to a basic understanding.
So you have to read Edinger first.
I think you'd have to read Edinger first.
Okay.
Yes.
And he says at the beginning to read it like you would eat a fruitcake.
Eat it, yes. A page a day.
Yeah.
Really, a page a day.
A page a day, wow.
That's the study guide.
But do you think the ion things are there's enough that we've gotten enough from this and going into that we can do it on our own without taking a class with you?
Try and see. I think you should be able to understand this. I'd be curious for feedback. I really would be curious. Because, you know, why I'm doing this series, people have said to me, you know, I've read Jung's introductory stuff. Probably not, the secondary literature. And so I know anima, animus, shadow, you know. But I feel there's nothing between that and reading Jung's good stuff. And I agree with them. And I said, well, have you tried these study guides? And they said, yeah, but it's still too hard. Mm-hmm. So my goal in this, sort of using you guys as guinea pigs, is to see with one day per basic ideas of the book, are you ready to read this? I hope you would be. And if you can read this, then I would read this once and then read it again. One chapter, they'll tell you what paragraphs he's talking about, and then read Ion. I don't know, but my hope is that you've got enough at least to get this. If you get this, then it'll be a lot more work to get this. But he'll say, you know, this paragraphs 105 to 126. Well, read this, and then read 105 to 126, and compare. I think it should be doable.
I'm thinking, you know, as we've been doing this, you know, been reading it for I myself have been reading like about 5 years now,
yeah.
And I'm finally starting to understand some things you say.
Well, that's nice.
They're making sense, and they are repeating themselves,
yeah.
And I'll say, oh, yeah, I got that part,
uh-huh.
You know, and,
yeah.
and I can have a little bit more to put into my little pack.
Yeah. You can learn this stuff. I learned it. You know, I was trained in engineering, and you think, that's linear, I went to theology, which makes engineering look like poetry. And then Jung was just, I mean, I remember in training coming home and sitting in my house and saying, I'll never get this. I will never get this. For years I felt like that.
I'm going to tell you just a little. You guys know my husband. He's really coming from a not knowing a lot of historical kind of stuff. And he's picking up things so much that he's now starting to give me advice on some of these things we're talking about, and I'm so proud of him because I'm looking at him saying things like in our classes on the Saturday thing, and I see he's catching it, you know, he's catching a lot of this stuff, and I think, you know, of other people that are doing that, you know, it takes several times to look at these, but some of them start repeating themselves, and you start seeing some of the reason of getting there.
I think the big difficulty is Jung thinks like a dream thinks.
Uh-huh.
People say, oh, he's woolly-headed, or he can't write, or he's circular. If you read his early works, he could be extremely linear. It's just he gave that up because he wanted to understand the aqua doctrinae. This symbolic language is the only thing that helps people really grasp who they are.
Yeah.
And so he then said, heck with this linear writing. I'm going to write the way I work, and that's what he does. And once you learn that symbolic language, it's much more interesting. One last point, and just to touch on it, to alert you to the last part of the book. What we've just finished, How Do You Catch a Second Fish? I'll bring some dreams for this shortly. But he then goes into a model for the self. And I'm going to read you a paragraph on 328, which is diagrammed on page 227. And I'll put the diagram, that's the diagram up there. We're going to read paragraph 328 on 209. That paragraph is diagrammed on page 227. I'm just going to explain this last half of the book, third of the book, in about 5 minutes, but enough that hopefully you can approach it.
And where's the illustration on
Page 227.
So what are you reading from? I'm
sorry. Reading from page 209,
okay.
Paragraph 328, diagrammed on page 227.
For those of us with the reader, it's on page 167.
This will make no sense. But hang on.
Okay, Ian, get this down so I can.
The Nassines. Nassines are a Gnostic sect. The Nassines, as Hippolytus says, Hippolytus was the guy who described their theology. These are all like second, third century guys. The Nassines, as Hippolytus says, derived all things from a triad, which consists firstly of the blessed nature of the blessed man on high, Adamus. Secondly, of the mortal nature of the lower man, and thirdly, of the kingless race begotten from above, to which belong Miriam, the Salt-Forer One, and Jather, the Great Wise One, and Sephora, the Seer, and Moses, the generation was not in Egypt. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good. What Jung is doing in the last part of the book is trying to show us how the self evolves. And he takes that very simple statement from a Gnostic text that says there is a development. Might be easy if you look on your book, page 227, then up here, but you can look up there if you want. There is a development between a lower man and a higher man by way of 4 points. And then giving 4 characters. Those characters aren't really important for our purposes. The important thing is to see what Jung has done now is take this idea that you start with the second fish. You work on it, and you end up with an insight and a sense of your life that is higher and more stable, more consistent, more encompassing than where you started. And that process is diagrammed in that diagram on page 227. The lower Adam would be like the first fish. The second fish, the problematic fish. The higher Adam would be the state that evolves after you worked on that fish. What we didn't talk about is the in-between. But often that initial state will break up into a quaternity of conflicting elements, which in time resolve into a higher image. That would be the insight gained from the second fish.
A state of what kind of elements did you call them? Opposing?
Conflicting. That in that, he just making the argument we've talked about now a little more complicated. We just said, oh, you go from a first fish to a second fish. A second fish to a higher understanding of yourself. Yeah.
So then we're starting the lower Adam, the beginning thing is where we're starting these things, then all of a sudden we're getting into that quote mess.
Yes.
That we're getting into where you've got several ways you can go, and then the idea is to pull it back
together. And then they are pulled back together for you if you stay with the confusion. So why Adam? Well, because of the story he read. But Adam surprisingly shows up in dreams, and I think because in our tradition he's the first person. So it's an initial condition of raw nature. In other words, the shift from the second fish to the redeemed condition often goes through a period of conflict, in which you see in that second fish was a conflict.
You didn't say it's like going from the first fish to the second fish. It's like going from the second fish to the Aquarius condition.
Yes. Yeah, I messed up there. I shouldn't have said first fish. I should say, like, the initial beginning of the second fish. The initial state of the second fish would be that lower Adam. And then often it proceeds by way of a conflict. Why is that important? Because sometimes you don't get an image of that second fish. You get an image of the four things in conflict which are contained in that second fish. Does that make sense?
In his Moses Quaternio, is he illustrating past historical growth from one state of consciousness to another? Is that why he's using the earth?
I think the reason he's using Adam is because it plays such a role in alchemy.
He's not talking about an evolution of consciousness in the past. He's illustrating with this quaternion.
Basically, he's talking about the evolution in an individual. But I think it also could apply...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I think it could apply to a historical development, to the extent that the individual recapitulates.
He's not talking about the development from Judaism to Christianity here.
He isn't, but you could apply it to that. Because the individual goes through the same stages that civilizations go through. But he's basically talking about the individual. Why does he use the Adam imagery? Because it plays such a role in alchemy. And because alchemists...
Well, because Christ is the second
Adam. Right, because alchemists make so much between the first Adam and the second Adam, which is Christ.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if this was historical, more than historical.
No, it's more personal.
Well, and this image of the four, that's really what the mess is, because... messes aren't unitary. That's the problem with them.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like no matter which direction I go in, somebody else is unhappy, you know? So that's exactly what the mess is. You're caught in between all those poles. And whichever direction you go in, you get some sort of tension. So, yeah, that would be your experience of it.
Now, what he does with the rest of the book is he says, you know, this business of one to the other can occur many different points in life. And sometimes that is depicted as a fish. Sometimes it's depicted as a human being as a starting place. Sometimes it's depicted as a rock as a starting place. Sometimes it's depicted as an animal as a starting place. Sometimes it's depicted as a vegetable as a starting place. So he goes through four basic symbol systems that this can be expressed in. I don't think you have to worry about that at the moment. Just be aware that what he's doing is just showing this shift from beginning to end through four, one, four, one, as a little more complicated presentation of what he's been talking about all along. And to realize that one, four, one can occur in a whole bunch of images. Fish, vegetables, stones, people, whatever. And it is a little bit different in each case what the change is, but I think for our purposes today, all you need to know is 141. If you want to follow the book, he'll talk more about okay, if it's 141, if it's people, it means this thing. If it's 141 with rocks, it means this. If it's 141 with animals, it means this. If it's 141 with carrots, it means this. There are many different ways this process can be symbolized. And he just wants to alert us to that fact. But the basic image is still starting from a fish-like content of your unconscious in which you get a hot, difficult experience. And then facing that, and then until it gives up the meaning, which is the path for you to follow in the next phase of your life. The other added detail is the magnetic dimension of this, how it seems to, these events seem to come to us when we need them, as if some magnetic field is arranging them, and what we have to do is question them to ask ourselves, what's the meaning here? All of this based on the way he understands history. So, split Christ, two fish, second fish, magnet, water, doctrine, get out of the water. Sort of the chain of his logic.
So if in my teens, you know, sometimes maybe the serpent will come up, or the anthropos, or the rotundum, mm-hmm. or the lophus, that's not signifying in me stages of my development. It's a circular thing you keep going through over and over again. So you get the snake, but you're not done with snakes. You come back to snakes.
Yeah, I was trying not to make it too complicated, but the other point he makes at the end of the book is that this is a cycle. You generally start out with a low image of the starting condition. It gets a little higher. The next cycle, let's say you may go from fish to, say, a cold-blooded fish to a warm-blooded animal, beginning and end symbols. Then you may go from a warm-blooded animal to a human being. Then you may go from a human being to a god. And then back to a fish again. And then it isn't a linear process, it's a cycle you go through again and again at each stage of your life.
Well, this is the way astrology works, because astrology says that you're born with a certain birth chart that has a certain structure in it, and then the planets move throughout and they get triggered again, and at different times of life. For example, the Saturn cycle, every 28, 30 years, it comes back around and it gets the same thing. So it's like you come back to the same issue.
Same idea.
And then, you know, whatever development you did on it the past time through, you have an opportunity to move up to the next level of development.
Same idea.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Shall we look at some dreams?
Yeah, this one struck me as interesting though, when you said they come as needed, as if some magnetic field arranges them. And you know, when you think of the moon's tides, you know, affecting mm-hmm. the tides, and then the planets affecting life, I mean, that is the astrology and movement, and it is a magnetic field.
You just may
which
find
again
yourself
doesn't
some information you got to find out about that.
It doesn't mean cause and effect. I think that's the, that it does not mean.
No.
But there is
no.
definitely this thing going on
information.
That's symbolic, that has information there.
Mm-hmm.
Right here?
Well, it's kind of like astrology describes the movement of energy, you know, and it shows up and it takes certain forms. And that's, you know, like he's talking about union and all of these, you know, the fish takes one form now and then takes another form, but it still does have a propensity to take certain forms. Like in alchemy, it came, it was started as fish. It, you know, you didn't have a giraffe and a fish and a mouse and everything. It had a tendency to travel down a certain route. So things didn't have tendencies to take certain shapes, I think, is kind of the way astrology is going to.
Okay, here's some dreams. See, this is completely recorded, right? Is that right? Yeah. Let's start easy. I'm with other women, and there is something about a dinner. There are fish on a plate. I'm having a deja vu about seeing the fish before. It's lying on a plate and suddenly jumps at my right arm, grabbing me with its teeth. I grab at his body, trying to pull him off of me. The pain awakens me, and I realize that I am digging into my own arm with my own fingernails. I make you work now.
Maybe you thought of Judy Chicago, the dinner party.
How about the fish?
Mm-hmm. Somebody's trying to get her attention.
It's a second fish.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the experience, a second fish-like experience, and has to get the meaning out of it. And it is not going to let it go. Because it's not about the it's not about the experience, it's about the meaning. Another easy one. I see Dad at Dick's farm. Next we are at John's farm, and Dad is helping him move a 600-year-old tree that is intact, roots and all. It is very ancient. What's a 600-year-old tree doing in this guy's tree?
Is that probably?
That's the last 500 years of Western history, 600 years of Western history. The materialistic phase, which he has to begin to see in a new dimension, his own materialistic side, in a new way, in a spiritual way. I'm traveling by train. A whole group of both men and women are waiting at a train station. This is not easy. A train station for a train to arrive. When it does, it pulls into an area ahead of where we are waiting. We have to walk to the place where it has stopped. We then split into small groups. There is some confusion as to which one I am in. We are told we can travel no further if we are pregnant. A certain woman takes the women who are pregnant to a room. I am one of them. We are to kill the fetus. Each woman takes an instrument, kills the fetus, and wraps it in newspapers. I am last. I do not know how to go about doing this. One woman explains, take the hammer-like instrument, which has two sharp blades on end, cut into the soft part two times. She says, sometimes if you are far enough along, you can see the form of a baby. My fetus looks like a small bird. I make cuts, then wrap it in newspaper. As I hand it to this woman, water pours out of the bird. I began to sob. None of the other women seemed to be affected by what they have done. I will tell you, you probably need a little background. It's the dream of a woman who is leaving a rather controlling group. Which didn't want her to have her own bird. Don't let have her own ideas. Where do you see the ion theme of the dream? The water. See, the bird contains the water. The fantasy, the imaginative, contains the doctrine. Where in the group, the doctrine is provided for you by the group point of view. Here, the dreamer is being challenged to find that relationship to her own doctrine through her imagination.
Symbolizes in the bigger picture that I was thinking, I mean, she's in a collective that's about to move. And when that collective is making movement, because she's getting onto the train,
yeah.
She's divided up into separate groups,
yeah.
So they're each trying to move in their own way. And
right.
She gets in with one that seems to have the potential
yeah.
to give birth.
if I'm thinking pregnant woman, that's going to be a good sign.
Right, it is.
And then, all of a sudden, it's like the other pregnant women somehow don't wake up into their,
right,
whatever their own calling is.
They stuck, they stayed in the group.
And she
got out.
Got out.
Yeah.
Doesn't the bird also speak of the spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that her own spirit was being killed.
Right.
By being in that
group. By being in that group. Right.
But can it also point to the idea that this is ultimately an individual journey? And even if you're with 100 people that are all pregnant,
yeah,
you're going to have your own journey.
Yeah.
So you can't. It's going to be in your own way.
True. Though I think so many, I mean, part of the problem with the dream is she's getting no support. So everyone in the world was accepting the soul murder of this group, spirit murder of this group.
I would say that's where we are in patriarchy. Mary and I were just talking about that, and the visible nature of patriarchy today isn't what it used to be. It's very invisible.
Yeah.
Because the structures seem to have been dissipated.
Right.
But now we're participating in ways that are very invisible.
Very visible.
So it's much harder to stay awake in that and recognize,
yeah,
whose eyes am I really gazing
at? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said. Manstreet, I see or am an enormous shark-like fish or submarine that dives rapidly and perilously through brightly lit, crystalline but icy polar waters to reach a concentration of other fish, some also very large, concentrated by magnetism or axial energy at, I believe, the South Pole, which lies, it seems, beneath the ocean without an ice cap. Here the fish / submarine / me seizes and devours another monstrous fish, then turns and rapidly retreats to warmer waters, perhaps to keep from freezing or running out of air. There's a rapid attack and repeat maneuver, which has the double advantage of surprising its prey and allowing the fish to penetrate to places where it could not survive for long, seems to be the specialty of this desperately hungry animal. What's the magnetism doing there? Yeah, he was getting involved in situations with a particular type of person. And that was what the magnetism was. But basically with very negative women. His mother was a witch. One of his brothers came home one day while they were eating dinner and pulled out a loaded .357 Magnum, cocked it and put it to his mother's head, started screaming at her. That's what family life was like. And that's the situations he kept finding himself in. But here he's diving down into that and withdrawing the contents that keep coming to him in these unfortunate situations. But there I thought, you don't see that many magnetism dreams. But here it was showing that these bad experiences were coming to him as if, you know, drawn by a magnet.
Isn't ice water typically one that's lacking feeling? If you're in a place that's lacking feeling,
yeah,
lacking feeling function, so he's trying to, that's where he's being pulled to.
Well, it's a negative mother complex. That's what keeps repeating. Yeah.
And if you're in the water, are you still being contained?
Maybe he was still contained in that complex. I don't think this is the aqua doctrinae, because it wouldn't be that cold.
Karen, what does the magnet dream for the dream seminar? Might someone have a dream of a magnet? Recall something about a magnet in that seminar.
Well, I don't remember it.
Okay.
See if you can find it, yeah.
I can't visualize it quite right now.
I'm almost sure.
I'm with a friend who gives me her chain of keys to put with a key I already have. I am sitting on the ground, perhaps in my garden, and she bends down maternally to hand the keys to me, asking whether I've let the animals go. She's referring to four animals. See, this is that four bit. She's referring to four animals only recently in my possession. All but the female salamander, I say, but as though in response to her question, I now take the salamander over to some bushes where I release her in the moist mulch below. My friend worries that having been out of water, that the salamander will dry out, but I assure her that the mole salamanders can get the moisture they need from their surroundings. That even with a little recent rain, this female will get the moisture she needs for herself and her eggs. Yeah, four would be the four we've seen. The salamander, make a long story short, would be the dynamism from the beginning state to the second state. That's an image of Mercurius. And I think it's saying that he's willing to allow that healing process to run its own course.
And to create something new, her and her eggs, he says.
Yes.
And is there anything to it that she put the salamander into the earth? I mean, onto the earth, and spirit and matter?
And yeah, and spirit and matter, and allowing, what I took to be so important was it's allowing the salamander its own intentionality. Mm-hmm. In other words, allowing the salamander is an image of the spirit. Allowing that to follow its own course. Mm-hmm. We could do a whole workshop just on the image of the salamander. It's surprisingly frequent. Let's see, what have I got left? I got one more left. This is the dream of a guy while he was working on his toy soldier stuff. Joe, an old man that I know, very solid and reliable, is an agile, elderly railroad man preparing the hopper feeder to work for trains coming through. He is teaching me. This exchange station is located hundreds of feet up a sheer mountainside. There the trains come from the mines in the mountain out to the station. He is quickly going about his work without fear, even though little supports him from falling straight down. He moves as if he were in a barn. So see the raw materials coming out of the mountain, that's the desire that is so problematic for him. He's preparing to process it, and that would be the transformation of that initial fish, or not the initial fish, the second fish, the problematic desire, into a higher state. So they're mining out the raw stuff, preparing it for its transformation.
He's being guided by a wisdom figure.
By a wisdom figure.
That's a gorgeous
one. Yep, and he's got a lot of guts. Because if he fells, it's over.
Mm-hmm. But the wisdom brings the trust with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the mountains, which is his higher self.
Higher self, yeah.
And yep. The train is there to take what he's mining.
Right.
To the next.
Right. Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny that the dream shows child porn as the higher self? See, this is what Jung bashed his head up against again and again. These low, low things are secretly in the unconscious the seeds of higher things. If we know how to deal with them.
You're also saying at the grail class that the mountain was a symbol of the work that has to be done. To,
yeah. But see, he's already up there. He's already climbed
up. He's up there, yeah.
Yeah. Place of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have. You want to just talk for a bit, or what do you want to do?
A person comes to you in a mess. How do you start dealing with this? How does a real live person start actually doing something with this? In other words,
I say, welcome to the mess.
Also, you just have to start admitting that you're in a mess, or
yeah.
Usually if they come, they know it.
Not always.
Yeah, but most times you're caught by it, you can't, all it is a mess.
Or it's somebody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I mean, there's something happening that's causing the discomfort. I think a lot of times they want to be somebody else to heal, right? Or cure it, or just tell me something that'll make it better. And then, not always.
Yeah.
Tell me what to tell my husband. Yeah. I think it'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Or tell me how to seduce her so I can get out of this pit.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what to do, I think would be a big one.
And your answer is?
I don't know.
Or welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Yeah, hope you get comfortable in that. Right?
Sometimes, also just saying, you know, that don't give up hope. There's got to be a meaning in this thing. It's so strong. And everybody's probably telling you you're crazy. You know. Why can't you just be happy?
Mm-hmm. Just get over it.
Just get over it.
Move on. Mm-hmm. Gary, when the second fish then splits into the spore or shows up as the four, then you said that somehow that just all comes back together to the one. That doesn't mean you will it to happen,
no.
Or that you can really do anything to make that happen. It just happens.
Well, you see, in the
right?
four animals in the salamander,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think you have always got to stay aware of what the complexity is within yourself, and then you hold it. Mm-hmm. And if you can hold it responsibly, then something else gets going, and that something else that gets going is the salamander. And then that shows you the way to bring them together. It's not that the ego isn't involved. The ego is very much involved, but in creating the question and in holding the question, it doesn't find the answer. I think that's a key part of Jung. That is the spirit. That those deeper answers of identity are given to you if you maintain the proper steps.
How do the four colors or four stages of alchemy relate to the octahedron? Are they the apices? Are those the four stages? Or is it the...
Yeah, I mean, the black would be the beginning.
Black?
Black would be the first.
Oh, down below.
Down below.
And then you do the four, and then you're up there.
I think the four would be the white.
Oh, I'm thinking... This whole, he's got 40 stacked on top of one another on 220.
Yeah, but that would repeat itself again and again.
So each little point where they touch each other, that would be one of the four levels.
Yeah.
The black,
white, gold, and then you're happy with your gold for a while, but it gets black again. Black, white, gold, you're happy with your gold for a while. Well, red would probably be between the black and the white.
Oh, so you don't think that it's black... The black, white, red, and gold are the four that connect these to each other.
And then there's one in each cycle. There's four different levels. See, we have four animals in this guy's dream. Could have been four rocks.
So then the four in alchemy would be the four, this four, not the four that are the apices of the octahedron.
It's both, I think. That's a four, and then there's four of these together, forming a loop.
So that four that's on one plane is the four colors of alchemy also.
Uh-huh.
What are you saying? I'm sorry. Never mind.
White, black?
Uh-huh.
White, because you're getting clear.
Uh-huh.
Gold. Next, and that'll last for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
Next one, that becomes black again and you start all over again. You got four, and then you go around. Again, it's very schematized. I don't think I've ever seen that. It's just an attempt to conceptualize how the process can have different elements symbolizing the same phase in the process. As I said, this guy had four animals. He could have had four cats. He could have had four cats. He could have had four angels. He could have had four rocks. He could have had four fish. And it's a little different. That's all Jung is trying to show.
The four are somehow two pairs of opposites?
Are often two pairs of opposites.
But they would be the same kind of thing?
Yeah.
Here you talked about when one is in a period of illness, desire, hatred, or the three you used. And you said, ask, is this happening so that I ask different questions, or we realize we need to ask ask in a different order of questions.
Right.
Talk a little more about that. I mean, when, like a different order.
Well,
understand the asking questions.
The first order would be, you know, how do I get out of this mess?
Okay.
How am I going to cope with this situation? And why me and stuff like that. No, that's, of course, important, but I think healing really doesn't finally occur till you realize, why did I need this?
Those type of questions.
Those type of questions. Why did I need this? In other words, where is my life going that I needed this to get there? That's getting the light out of the burning fish.
So basically what you were saying was healing occurs when I need it. Is that what you just said?
Well,
where did I get it? I get it wrong.
The situation that will lead to healing will occur when you need it.
Situation.
The problem you need to get you where you're going will occur when you need it. That's the magnetic aspect. Yeah, Kate.
Last time when you were kind of giving us the big picture, you said, okay, well, what we did last time was looking at the, you know, containing the opposites, and this
right.
time was really to look at withdrawing the
projections. Withdrawing projections,
yeah,
right.
We haven't spoken very much about that anyway.
Well, indirectly, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every situation where that second fish appears, you're asking yourself, what of me is out there that I need to find? But there are three, I think there are three basic models. The occurring the conflict. And you see, they're not, I mean, we're, this is kind of synthetic, but we're trying to just separate this up for our rational mind to grasp it. Carrying the opposites is one dimension of it. Withdrawing projections is another dimension of it. And the next time in Job, we'll talk about the situation where the self is out to kill you. Where it's not helping you, it's trying to destroy you. But I think there are the three aspects to what Jung tried to lay out for what is involved with coming to awareness of selfhood.
Can you repeat
that one? The carrying the opposites, that was mysterium. Withdrawing projections, that's ion. And dealing with the self that's trying to kill you. Fortunately, it doesn't appear very often, but when there's been severe abuse, it does.
Actually, Marion Woodman did some real interesting work around this, and she called it the death mother. She's beginning to see this image that keeps showing up, and she's calling it the death mother.
Yep.
It wants you dead.
It wants you dead.
Hmm.
Sure does.
Where does that come from? Why does the self want to kill?
I don't know, but it does.
You know, this one occurs to me very simply around it. I think we're in a very virulent form of patriarchy right now, and it's not longing to lose its power. I mean, there is an energy that's still holding us as individuals, and you know, I think women who are trying to come awake in all of this. There's something collective feeling about it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's
maybe.
Very personal. So, and I don't know that. It just seems to me that could be.
Part of it, too, I think it's just plain old evil.
Well, it's like the two artists who died recently. The woman who committed suicide and then her boyfriend followed into the sea. Who was the artist, the female artist, that's very famous in New York, and she committed suicide, and she had been with this her male counterpart for years and years and years. I just can't think of the name. And they had been together, and they were quite young and handsome and talented. And he did more video art, and there's some kind of a display of his work now. But a week after she committed suicide, he walked into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found him. So that's, it's very interesting from a union perspective, because the female-male energy and one playing off the other, and like you talked about, you know, the frustration of getting... So I'd like to do more research on those people, because they were extremely, you know, talented, very highly educated and, you know, high IQ, everything. And then, and gorgeous, and in their 30s, they had everything going on, like icons and pillars in the art. And I want to say New York. It was in the news this summer, I think, and then I just heard something on the way over here, which is why it's fresh in my mind, because they're doing an exhibit of his work, and they were interviewing people. He actually did a piece, a very, very deep piece, based on the life of someone famous who did attempt suicide, and his recovery and rehabilitation came out, and then he did a video piece based on this guy, and they were interviewing him on NPR today. Really uplifting news, but anyway.
Self has opposites. I mean, if it has the two, if it's paradoxical, then to me it makes sense that there is that in me that would be what my best interest, that would want me to move forward and be who I am meant to be, but there'd also be that part of the self that would want to hold me back and say, no, stay where you're safe. I mean, you call it the negative mother or whatever, but wouldn't there be those two things going on?
Yes. I'm not sure it's quite the same, because I really think what we'll be talking about next time is evil. And I think the self can have a negative role and not be evil. We'll be talking about evil.
But you're talking about the self that's trying to kill you, then you're saying that would be evil.
Well, I think there's a self that's trying to kill you really for your own benefit, because, you know, you're so phony that it knows that get rid of this one and let's start again, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it feels pretty bad, but I don't think it's evil.
No.
But I think there is a part of the self which is just evil.
Which doesn't have to be a physical. I mean, that's just a self-death. Not a death of the body, just a self. An old image of yourself.
This workshop on Job will be interesting.
Yeah. isn't there that self that doesn't want to move forward?
Yeah.
That wants to keep me where I am?
Yeah. Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah. And that's what I thought we were talking about when you said it was trying to kill me. Killing me.
Partially, but
myself.
I think there's a different
there's
order.
Okay.
I think there's more. Everything can't be explained by psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good place to stop. Thank you. January
19th.
Did we have to wait that long?
Thank you,
Jane. Thank you. November 1st, Kathy and Jane are presenting The Repression of the Feminine.
It should be really interesting.
Carol was scheduled, but
she's
going to move forward for us. So Jane and Kathy are once again saving our ass.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
You're on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do.